Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
A very merry Draftmas to you. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Ken Swanson. I'm the lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Draft Show coming at you about a month away from the NFL Draft. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about trade-ups into the 21 to 24 range and what kind of player pool we could expect based on, you know, kind of recent speculation. We're going to talk about round two corners with Craig because we've been talking a lot about a potential, you know, round one edge, wait till cornerback in the second round. What does that mean? What players are going to be there? We're going to have Craig break those down. We're going to end the show with a mailbag as we always do. But I'm going to talk, and Jake's here with me as always. Find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. Jake, how you doing, my man?
Not so good.
Why?
Well,
did your phone break again?
No.
Is the roastery closing?
No, it's thriving. I'm not
I mean, it's better be thriving.
Yeah, I'm
with your business.
My $1.03 I spend there every day on a coffee. I'm not doing well because my timeline has been flooded with nonsense. Free agency nonsense. Free agency has been done since the first 11 minutes of the tampering period. Let's move on. Let's stop talking about it. If your team signs a free agent at this point in time, he's not that good. And it's not going to help your team that much.
Are you throwing shade at Bashaud Breeland?
No, Bashaud's good. I like Bashaud. But what I'm saying is, let's move on to the real game changers of the offseason and all that we have coming up, and that is the NFL draft class. What we should be focusing our attention on.
If Draftmas is a thing, free agency is your Thanksgiving, and people should be playing. After Thanksgiving is when you're allowed to play Christmas music. So you're allowed to read draft profiles from here on out. This is officially there's nothing else to pay attention to except for draft season. It is upon us. And we're here to help you do that. And one of the ways we're doing that, the KC Draft Guide. I know we've talked about it every week. It's something we're really excited about, and it's basically our passion project and all the stuff that we are bringing to you when it comes to the podcast and when it comes to, you know, the profiles and stuff we're doing on Arrowhead Pride and the videos and all that stuff. It's kind of rooted in all the stuff we're doing with the Draft Guide. Over 300 prospects are going to be ranked. Over 200 write-ups about how prospects specifically fit the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're so excited to show you guys this stuff. I think we're going to have some teasers out here in the next day or two, kind of letting you see the layout of what one of our pages looks like. And we've got some really cool features. Craig's working on something very unique. He's been working on it this week about, you know, cornerbacks and kind of helping, you know, using athletic profiles and stuff to help predict success with the cornerback position. I'm really excited to read it. So we've got a lot of cool stuff. If you go to gum.co/KC draft, promo code NERD gets you the guide for $6.99. And it's going to be really awesome. And we're about dead. This week, Jake, we've been watching the bottom of the barrel prospects. Like, we're well over 300 prospects now, but we want to do due diligence and kind of get the guys that aren't going to make the guide to make sure that we don't lose any diamonds in the rough. Mm. And I've watched some very ungood prospects this week. Yeah. I don't know about you.
The rough is it's mostly just the rough.
There's not many diamonds. However, there was a diamond that you found today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
So, I mean, when you go through this stuff, you definitely are just, like, looking for, a lot of times, just looking for traits, like one or two things that a guy can do, or even if it's just, like, a handful of plays that you see a guy do that kind of make you open your eyes. But there was one specific person, and he played for a really bad college football team in Wake Forest. And that is offensive lineman, offensive guard Phil Haynes. This dude
didn't even know his name.
Yeah,
eyes are bleeding.
That guy, but he is an absolute mauler in the run game. And if there's one thing I like to watch, and I'll admit, interior offensive line is my least favorite position to evaluate. It's the tape is like 27 minutes long, and it's just guys bumping up against each other, and it's not fun always. But Phil Haynes is fun. He is the type of guy that's fun to watch because he is an absolute soul-crushing run blocker. I actually tweeted out a GIF of him today, and I kind of just said, if you're going to be around this guy, you got to keep your head on a swivel because he's not satisfied unless you are like in the ground. Your nose is in the dirt, and that's just how he plays. He's got violent hands, super good punch. He tested in the elite range on his RAS. So he's a guy that I'm actually really excited about. I think he may be a little bit overlooked right now because he played for such a bad college football team. But he's probably someone that NFL teams probably know quite a bit about. But in the draft community, I've not heard him talked about a lot. He is fun. If you get a chance to, I usually wouldn't say go out and watch some offensive guard play for fun, but he's a fun watch.
Okay, so I was going to ask you this. From the Chiefs, they lean on, you know, zone. They lean on outside zone. Is that a guy that makes sense from an outside zone team?
Not, he's like, so in my negatives, I just put like, you know, he's not like the fleetest of foot. He doesn't move super well laterally, at least on tape. He didn't show that. So he may be a little bit of a scheme fit, and maybe not a great fit for the Chiefs, but
a gap power.
Right. Yeah. And, he's in the elite range in his relative athletic testing.
Oh.
So he might be a guy that just really wasn't asked to do that a ton, or maybe a guy that still has the athletic ability to do that, but you didn't see a lot of that on tape. And in fact, you saw a lot of stuff that would suggest maybe he couldn't. But a guy like that, you just never really know until you get your hands on him, you get him in camp, because he's got those elite traits. But he's a mean dude. He's just a tone setter.
I mean, those are what make this thing fun, though, is finding guys like that amidst all of the
when he would be a guy too that, right, let's say the Chiefs do draft him, that's what you would lean on, is while the tape didn't really show that, it looks like he's going to be able to fit in that outside zone scheme, but the Chiefs must feel that he's got the athleticism to do
right.
it, that he's got the movement skills. So yeah. And he's got the testing numbers to back it up, so he'd be a guy that'd be really interesting to keep an eye on.
Okay, we're going to bring Maddie on to talk about potential trade-up candidates, how the board could look when they get to that range that they could trade up. And then we're going to talk to Craig about cornerbacks after that. But we're going to take a break real quick here. And we are joined from his car by Matthew Lane in Carolina. Find him on Twitter at Chief in Carolina. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. This is the normal Thursday setup for me when the joint office at work is full of multiple people. We have to get pushed out into the car. So hopefully most Thursdays, yeah, the commitment. Most Thursdays the office is available, but some nights it gets busy and there's somebody else up there and they don't enjoy hearing me blab about football while they're trying to eat their lunch the whole time.
Office life. I like how you like introduce Matt like this is like not a normal thing. Like Matt's always like munching down on something in his car while he's joining us.
Eating his lunch at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that's all a fact.
I mean, like, I appreciate the grind, man.
Shred. The shred, you mean?
The shred. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We don't grind, we shred.
Around here. We don't grind, we shred. I forgot. We're the Aldi version of grinding the tape.
That's a blast at Aldi and us, I think, at the same time. How dare you speak ill of Aldi?
Maybe we're not.
I think we're the target of those things.
I mean, it's better than the Kmart.
Kmart failed. much better. So,
welcome to the AP Shopping Store podcast.
Well, that is the worst joke that has been told on this podcast, and it's staying in.
The worst joke? I think that's a stretch.
Dude, I don't know, I've had some pretty bad ones.
I'm going to tell an inside joke, and I know no one's going to get it, but we're going to laugh. Do you think there's any rotisserie chicken at this shopping mart?
Yeah. I think most Kmarts do sell rotisserie chickens.
Nice.
Okay. Let's talk about real football now. So after we recorded the laboratory, we kind of were sitting around round tabling, talking through scenarios and like trying to have a realistic expectation of, you know, a player, there's a potential for a player we like to be there in that 21 to 24 range. And then you kind of took the liberty of doing some research, and I think it's pretty accurate. Like, I think this is pretty close to what will happen. Maddie, why don't you just explain what you did and how you looked at it and the players that you think are probably going to be gone in the 20s?
Right. So what I was just doing when we were talking about it was going through and just slating in guys that I think are 100% going in the top 20. And I try to err on the side of kind of caution with this. So if I think there's a chance a guy falls, I didn't put his name down, just to kind of get a general consensus of who's going to be there after pick 20 if we do want to trade up. So we were just going through, knocking out quarterbacks, you know, one wide receiver, one tight end. This isn't like a top 20 players, although it's pretty close just because these are the guys that are consensus top 20 picks by everybody. But we were just looking at the players. So we have about 18 guys that I put in there as definitely top 20 picks. And that still doesn't include three potential first round edges in Brian Burns, Montez Sweat, and Cleveland Farrell. Now, there's no way that not a single one of them go in the top 20. There's a good chance that two. There's even a chance that maybe three, but you're kind of running out of picks at that point in time. So the whole point of the exercise was just to see at pick 21 if one of these defensive end type players was going to be available for a trade up.
Right. So it's not necessarily like a you're going to have a pool. You're not going to have one of these three to choose from. You're not going to get to hand pick which one, but it's more there's good edge talent that we think might be available at 21 just based on how the board will or very likely could play out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it is. I think if you're looking at pick 21 specifically, like I said, I have 18 names that I put as locks for the top 20. And you're going to put in, you're going to slate most likely your next two players if you're looking at any of these names that I have left. And I won't read every single one of them, but you're looking at probably getting Burns, Sweat, or Farrell, two of those three off the board in your next two picks. Maybe a fourth quarterback if a team really likes Daniel Jones. But that leaves you at pick 21, maybe even 22. You're left with one of those edge players. One of those three edge players left. Maybe it's not your first choice. Maybe it is. But it's just showing that there's an option to not have to trade up into the mid-teens to get a defensive end once you start to break down the entire class as a whole.
And I think this exercise is kind of important. I think this is what teams are doing. You know, they're looking and saying the Vikings are going offensive line. The Broncos are going quarterback. They're kind of playing through all these scenarios to kind of understand how far up the board they moved. Matt, out of curiosity, how many quarterbacks did you put in your conservative estimate?
I put three, and I feel very confident saying at least three are going to go in the top 20. I think Murray's a lock. Haskins should be a lock, but I think that you're starting to hear a little bit of information that some people think the NFL isn't as high on him, but then you hear the whiteboard stuff. So I still consider him as, I mean, when I say a lock here, I'm probably talking above 90% in my mind because you can never say for certain that someone's going. And then Drew Lock, there was way too many people at his pro day showing a lot of interest with like heavy investment of their scouting department, whether it's a head scout, coaches, GMs were at Drew Lock's pro day. There's no way the NFL is just not interested in his physical talent at this point in time.
So I think one thing it's fair to say with all this is you are rooting for quarterbacks early and often to force people's hands on Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you want all three of these quarterbacks gone by the time the Giants pick their second time. They're at 17, I believe it is. You yes. want all three of these quarterbacks gone, and you don't want the Giants to have taken one of them. You want them to take Daniel Jones. You also want teams to feel desperate to protect their quarterbacks and take an offensive lineman in a good offensive line class. Like, those are your right. two keys to getting a defensive end to fall, is getting as many offensive linemen and as many quarterbacks off the board as you can. Quarterbacks always go. Strong O-line class. That's why I feel like there's a good chance you don't have to trade up to 15 to get a defensive end this year.
And that's kind of where I'm at. Is like, and you're rooting for offensive line. And I think that the teams, there's some teams that very realistically could take offensive line, right? You know, and you think about the Vikings first. Like, the Vikings got to be like almost a near lock to go offensive line, for instance. And you know, those kind of moves there help. The Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to be a pretty important one because I think they could go edge. So if they do choose to go offensive line there, then that's a huge win for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that's the next step of the exercise, is starting to slate some of these players into actual fits. And that way you can expand beyond the top 20. I can start looking at what you think about 22, 3, 4, going down the list even farther. Right now, I wasn't looking at any specific fits yet, but over the weekend, I'm sure I'll get bored at some point in time and start doing that. And like you said, I already think the Panthers, the Giants are the two big teams that are kind of the pivot point for the Chiefs in terms of getting a defensive end. Once you get past those two teams, yeah, there's other teams that could use them, but those are the two that I think are a little too far forward that you feel super comfortable trading up in front of. But if it gets by them, you can trade up in front of the Raiders or the Eagles pretty easily, and those are kind of other teams that you think are going to be heavy on the pass rush market.
And I think you can go back or earlier even into the draft, and I think a huge pick is at number three, at what the Jets do with that third pick. Do they take edge? Do they go tackle, or do they trade out of the pick too? Because if they take edge, you're going to start seeing that run on edges go earlier.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That's definitely the first one. And that changes probably the bigger grand scheme of the draft is what the Jets decide to do. I was just thinking specifically from the Chiefs' perspective with getting a falling edge, like getting that last guy. You're looking at the Panthers or the Giants are kind of the last team. If there's one edge left after them, you absolutely have to trade up as soon as you can. If you get by them with two or three guys that you still like on the board, you feel a little more comfortable waiting to the early 20s rather than jumping straight up there. But yeah, the Jets, I think everybody knows it. They need O-line. They need some pass rush, but they're also willing to trade out based on having to give up picks last year. They control the entire draft. We'll know picks one and two most likely before the draft starts are a good idea. But the Jets, you have no idea what they're going to do, and they can change everything.
I think the other thing that is worth keeping an eye on is Oakland at four. If they take an edge, they definitely could double dip. Like, I don't doubt about it, but maybe they're not as aggressive about double dipping. You know, maybe they don't trade up from, you know, 24 to 21 or 24 to 20. Like, that's another thing I'm kind of keeping an eye on. If they go edge, maybe they're not as desperate later in the draft to go acquire one. So that's another thing to think about. But I do think that they're going to have to jump the Raiders, most likely. And I think that's going to be important. The good news for the Chiefs, though, is 21, 22, 23, that range, it sounds like they're willing to sell.
Yeah, and if you find these teams that are willing to sell, especially if the board doesn't fall the way they want it to, if they're looking for even more offensive linemen, especially interior guys, you can probably snag them back at pick 29. You can get a very good interior offensive lineman if that's what you need, like teams like the Vikings or even the Texans who just need any single offensive lineman. You can trade back. Maybe they'll be willing to take a little bit less on a value chart to get back out of that pick just to gain that extra pick, because that means more to them than 50 extra points or whatever it may be. So it's looking like a buyer's market still. You hear more and more teams every day willing to trade back. You're looking at, like I said, that 20 to 22, 23 range. You got to get ahead of the Raiders, especially if they don't take an edge with their first pick.
Okay, Maddie, if you had to guess today in a trade up, who do the Chiefs get with the, let's call it, the 21st pick?
I'm still saying that I think Cleveland Farrell is going to be the last defensive end left on the board. I'm not 100% sure why we don't think the NFL likes him as much as they did at the beginning of, or like going into last offseason when people thought he was going to enter the draft. But out of just all the hype you hear about people, he seems to have the lowest. So I think he's the guy. And thankfully, he perfectly fits what we think the Chiefs are going to be doing at defensive end.
Yep, I totally agree. That's lockstep where I'm at right now. That's Maddie Lane. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Thank you, guys. I'll be here next week with an even worse joke than the supermarket joke or store market, whatever I even went with, because that was pretty bad.
That was amazing. Catch you later, man. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Find him on Twitter at BarleyHop. It is Craig Scout. And Craig, I'm so tired. I don't even feel like giving an old joke right now.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Man. Well, I'm over here drinking coffee at 8:44, so... That makes me young.
It still doesn't. Like we were talking earlier, like the grind is real right now.
It's a home stretch, Ken.
It's a home stretch. We got to kick
right now.
I know.
Saved up our reserves. We're going.
It's
now.
Exciting. Like I'm energized in a lot of ways, but also like, I mean, the grind is real. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we talked to Maddie a little bit earlier about trade-up scenarios to that 21 to 24 range. And, you know, one of the things that we've kicked around here a little bit is the edge, you know, going early on edge and then waiting for round two at the cornerback position. I wanted to kind of define what that means, you know, with names. Who do we look at as round two corners? Some of these guys... Maybe all these guys that we're about to talk about, they may not even be there at 61.
Well, wait a second. Can I just jump in here real quick? I'm looking at this list of players, and they all look like reaches to me, Craig, at 29. Why would you take any of them at 29?
Well, you know, one of them on the list is the guy that we talked about earlier this week, Justin Lane. But let me preface this with that. When I made that Justin Lane pick, there's a lot of people that screamed reach, and then as the week went along, Matt Miller, the Draft Network guys, a bunch of people came out and basically told everybody, hey, Justin Lane's going early round two, late round one. Like, oh, it's
right, because they listen to the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we inform all these people, clearly.
Of course.
But the thing is, in the past three drafts, there have been an average of 9 cornerbacks taken before pick 61. I know we've mentioned that before, but let's bring it up again. 9. That's 9, 10, and 8 in the past 3 years. So if you don't think that Justin Lane is in your top 10 corners, then yes, you're probably right. He probably will be available at 61. But if you do think that Justin Lane is one of the top 10 corners in this class, he ain't there. So let's go through some of these guys a little bit, and we'll talk about them a little bit and kind of talk about the sorts of things that they bring to the table and about, you know, what we could expect if the Chiefs were to get them.
I like that. Yeah, and I think that's a good approach to that. And some of these guys have been mocked in round one. Let's start with Amani Oruwariye. Got to talk to him at the Senior Bowl. What do you think about him?
I like him a lot. When you watch Amani Oruwariye, the thing that you see the most is that he's long and he has ball skills and he's quick. And those are the three things. Those are kind of the things that we're going to hammer home through this segment that both Brett Veach and Steve Spagnuolo have said. They want long, fast corners with ball skills. Amani fits that, and he also fits in a zone scheme. You don't want him pressing very often, but he's a guy that fits really well in a zone scheme. Smart guy, would be able to run all these pattern matching coverages that Spagnuolo is going to put out there. He's probably an early round two guy. He might slip into the back of round one, particularly with like the Patriots there. He seems like a very Patriots guy.
He does.
So he'd be a guy that they'd have to either take at 29 or if he fell sort of towards the middle of the second, be able to trade up.
Okay, let's talk about Jo'Wan Williams, cornerback from Vanderbilt.
The man's so nice, they named it twice in his fresh name. Jo'Wan Williams, 6'3", 212 at the combine. He is huge, and he has fluid hips. He ran his agility drills really well. He's going to be a project guy, but that sort of size and athleticism you just can't find. Like, you don't find athletes like that to go out and play corner. He's a guy that's going to need development. You'll be able to get a little bit out of him this year, but he's definitely a year two, year three, year four kind of guy. He actually might make it to 61 if some teams really just need, you know, guys that can step on the field immediately. Jo'Wan probably isn't that guy this year, so he might fall.
Okay, let's talk about the man of the hour, Justin Lane, cornerback, Michigan State, recent wide receiver transfer. Transfer. I guess that's, does that work?
Mm-hmm. Translate, yeah, switch. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, it's the grind. Hashtag grind. The grind.
He played both ways for Michigan State as recently as last year. Long as well. Crazy fast. Ran really fast. And probably the best ball skills in the class coming from a wide receiver. You know, it was a highly recruited wide receiver. So he's a guy that you're going to be able to put on the field immediately. Another zone type corner that could play really well in some pattern matching schemes. Understands route distributions from playing as a receiver. He just makes a ton of sense for this Chiefs defense. But again, early round two, maybe late round one for him.
Okay, let's talk about a guy that was really highly regarded, you know, even as recently as 2 months ago, started to kind of taper off lately after combine interviews didn't go great, after his athletic testing was very average. DeAndre Baker from Georgia.
Yeah, and he's a guy that leading into the combine, everybody said was really going to test through the roof. Like, they expected him to test really, really, really well, and then he didn't. And he bombed the interviews, and then people kind of took a second to reflect. His tape wasn't ever, you know, particularly great. He's got a lot of holes in his game. He's not particularly big. He's not particularly great at the ball or at the catch point. But he is a good all-around corner. I do think that his range now is that late round two spot. I just don't know if he fits the size, speed, ball skill parameters that Steve Spagnuolo is going to want at that point. But he's a guy that can kind of do everything, and that's another kind of requirement for Spagnuolo. So I think he could be a guy there at the end of the second round, especially for a guy that was getting round one buzz, you know, a couple months ago. Into the second round, I think that's about where his value is, maybe early third.
Okay, so another guy that I think we're probably a little bit lower on than some. You know, you don't know exactly where his range is going to be. Trayvon Mullen, the cornerback from Clemson, who finished incredibly strong with his national championship performance.
Yeah, and he's a guy that the second half of the year, he had really, really good tape. So he kind of came into his own as the year went along. Another diverse guy that can do a little bit of everything. He's a good athlete as well, and he's got enough length that I think that he could function within this scheme, but he's not really put that on tape for consistent years. He just kind of came on late, so there's going to be a lot of questions. What player are you getting? I've always kind of had this early round three grade on him. I don't think that I'd be mad at taking him in that round two range, and I think that's probably where he'll go. But there's a lot of questions about him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him slide towards the end of round three. Just one of those guys that falls through the cracks after everybody goes for all the bigger names.
Early round three? Or late round three or early round three?
For him? Yeah, I had him as early round three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. One more guy I want to talk to you about, and this is a guy we loved talking to at the Senior Bowl and one of my favorite players in this entire class. Rock Ya-Sin, ascending player from Temple. What do you think about him? He seems to be like the darling this week in the draft community.
Absolutely. He had his pro day, and he looked really good at his pro day. His agilities were the thing that was kind of really low on him because he did bench really well. His vertical was good. His 40 was good. So everything looked pretty good, and then he got to the agilities drills, and he looked very stiff. And so people had some questions about his footwork, about what he was going to do. He did his pro day this week and looked great. So I think a lot of those are eliminated. But, yeah, he's definitely a guy like Joe Juan that you're going to have to kind of learn with him on the fly. I think you can get more out of Rock than Joe Juan year one, just because Rock is just kind of escalating through. He started at Presbyterian College, went to Temple last year. He's only been at Temple 1 year. So he's going to be a guy that's still learning the game of football, learning the speed of football, but he seems to be a quick learner. He's a guy that's got the right kind of football character. He's got the right wiring to be a good player. I would be ecstatic if he's there at 61 to jump out and take him there. But I just feel like everybody loves him so much that he's going to go much earlier than any of us think. I think he's an early round two guy as well.
Yeah, and I mean, some people are saying he could slip into late round one, and I get it. Like, you know what? You want to talk about Bill Belichick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Football character?
Yeah.
The football character, the, you know, the ascension that he's seen, the growth and development that he's had over the last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see it, man.
Yep, absolutely.
There might be more projection to him than some are giving him credit for.
I think so, too. He's got this wrestling background that really makes him a force at the line from a press standpoint. He's really great with his hands, and so I think that's not teachable. Like, you don't teach that in football. So he's going to be a guy that I think is going to learn really quick a lot of the things that he needs to pick up and hit the field early.
That is Craig Stout. Find him on Twitter at BarleyHop. Thanks, my man.
Thanks.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And it's time to do a draft mailbag here with Jake. Going to answer some of the questions that you guys have put out there. Thank you, as always, for all those questions. We're going to try to get through as many as we can. At Jack Oliver KC asks, is Christian Wilkins a prospect that you would like the Chiefs to trade up for? So with Wilkins, like, I like the player a lot, and I think I might be one of the higher grades that we have on him. I don't know if that's a guy you trade up for, though. I think if you're going to try to, you know, trade up, you're looking to identify an edge, a very obvious need. Now, an exception would be like if Ed Oliver inexplicably falls to 18, I'm doing stupid things to just try to get him, you know, because he's like a top five talent for us. Other than that, along the interior defensive line, I'm probably focusing on trying to acquire an edge. And if I can't acquire an edge in the trade up, I'm probably just going to see what's sitting there at 29. I don't know about you, Jake.
Yeah, I don't think Christian Wilkins is a guy that I necessarily would be excited about a trade up for. I think if he was sitting there at 29, depending on how the board fell, I would be actually excited about that pick.
No, for sure.
But I'm just trying to walk myself through. So if they trade up, you know, say they trade up to 21 or 22, kind of like we think they might, and the guy is Christian Wilkins, like, I could be talked into that. I don't know.
But you still got to need an edge.
There would be, well, I'm starting
and
to think,
corner.
I'm starting to think, can Christian Wilkins play that strong side D end? I think he can.
I don't know.
But I don't think that's necessarily where you want him to live.
No, I don't know if I would want that to happen. And maybe in a pinch he could do it, but
I think he could do it. And I think he could do it at a pretty decently high level because he's got a little bit of bend and
he's,
some juice
he's flexible for
a guy,
for a guy
like
his
that.
Size. Saw him do the splits.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean,
I don't know. That's a good, interesting question, and I'm just kind of the wheels are kind of just turning on that as
fine.
We're talking about it. But I think I could be talked into him.
I mean,
if you're going to trade up, I wouldn't be slamming my fist against the table about
no,
it. I would be scratching my head a little bit.
I wouldn't be upset. Like, he's a good football player. I think the way I look at it is, though, if you're going to trade an asset, let's say you trade your third round pick to move up to get him, now you've got 2 seconds, not a ton of flexibility to maneuver round two, and you still need an edge, and you still need a corner. You know, so it's like that kind of just pigeonholes you a little bit to address, get a good football player, but address a need. You're not really addressing a need, right? Our guy Country Boy asks, who are some late round edge gems? Well, here's the thing. There's not a ton. If you're going to talk about like day three edges, I don't think there's a ton of guys that make like a ton of sense for the Chiefs, right? Like there's good players, but as far as like, are they gonna fit that long, you know, dense 4-3 defensive end kind of mold? Like, there's really not a ton of guys. Maybe like day two, if you're gonna talk about day two, like I think there's some guys that make sense. Like a Charles Omenihue might make sense. Maybe even an Anthony Nelson. They want. Like, it sounds like they're gonna want, you know, some longer, denser, you know, 6'4", 260-pound kind of edges. And so there's not like a ton of true edges like that. I don't know what you think, Jake.
Here's a guy for you that's interesting. You know, Spagnuolo has talked about, and he's even said he wants guys that fit the mold of someone that can withstand a lot of stunts and twists. Someone who's really good at that is Wyatt Ray from Boston College. Yeah. In fact, that's like probably his best trait is he can really come screaming through on those stunts and twists. And he is that bigger, you know, kind of that bigger edge type that could probably play with his hand in the dirt. And that's what he does right now. Not in love with him, and that's why he's a day three type guy for me. But when you talk about late round guys, he's a guy that when you talk about traits, when you talk about things that he can do, that's something Wyatt Ray can do. So I think he's a guy worth keeping an eye on, and that kind of stands out to me just because, you know, the D coordinator said that's the type of guy they sure want, and that's something he is good at. So he's a guy for me worth keeping an eye on day three. That's Wyatt Ray out of Boston College.
But even outside of that, like,
man, there's, like, those guys go early.
And they do. And I think that's the reality. And I think that's why we're talking about trying to move up the board, is there's really just not a ton of guys that are really fitting the mold. At Wasted Motion asks, if Tyron Johnson from Oklahoma State is a legit 4-3 40 guy like his pro day was, does that show on tape? And do you like him in the later rounds? Jake, you are our primary evaluator on Tyron Johnson. What did you think about him?
Well, to answer the question, yes. He is a 4. He's fast. You can tell he's fast on tape. That's about it. He looks like a track guy. You know, he does. He looks like one of those types of, he's out there, he's fast, he's kind of like trying to get like into his running form on his 9 route. And that's just kind of how he is. You know, when I watched him, I actually watched him today, and you know, he ran that super fast time at his pro day. And it gets you excited. That speed gets you excited. But he doesn't have great hands. His route tree is more like a stick. And he just doesn't look like a wide receiver right now. He looks like a fast guy out there in football pads. And so that's kind of your concern. Now, do I like him in the later rounds? Sure. If he's sitting there like late day three, that's the type. We again talk about traits. That's a dominant trait. He's fast. He can run. You can take a flyer on a guy like that in the 7th round. Sure, I could see that. That'd be fine. But he is a project. Make no mistake about it. Yeah. He is very much a project.
At Displaced Chief asks, what does Nasir Adderley lack that keeps him from being your safety one? Jake, I'll let you stand for him because I know is he your safety one, or is Chauncey?
He will be if he tests like I think he's going to. Just because him and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson are so neck and neck right now, and Gardner-Johnson tested well, so he's a sliver ahead of Adderley right now. But if Adderley tests just even above average, he's going to be my safety one. And so really, to answer the question, nothing. He's my safety one. I think if you're looking for a guy on the back end with range that's going to be a playmaker, that's going to take the ball away, he's going to be the guy that you want to get. I think he's one of the best coverage safeties in this draft class, if not the best.
I have some issues with him. And it's not like, I mean, I still think he's a good player. I think he's one of the top 30 players in this class, maybe, you know, 35, maybe even a little higher than that. I think there are some questions with him tackling on tape. I think, you know, he missed some very easy tackles that he should have made. I do like the level of competition. Here's the thing that is kind of an issue with him. He hasn't played a high level of competition consistently. He was hurt during the process. his Senior Bowl, he did not get to show what kind of player he was at the highest level because he was working through a high ankle sprain. He really didn't get to do much at the combine, and now he's leaning on his pro day.
Which is today. It may or may not have happened when you're listening to this.
So this is a big test for him to see what he looks like, what he tests at. That could help him through the process.
Or hurt. We've talked about it on this very podcast. If he comes out and runs a 4.5, which is not a terrible time, but for him it would be. That would be detrimental to his process.
He needs
to run fast.
Yeah, and he's a very good football player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's got a phenomenal mentality. I think he plays with his hair on fire. There's not a ton of holes in his game. You would like to see him tackle better.
And I agree with that. But for me, that's probably the fourth thing on my list for safety.
Sure.
So that's like a preference thing.
But if you're talking about safety one, I mean, we're not talking about separating, you know.
And that's what, if you would say like him and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think are pretty unanimously, especially sure. us on this team, are our top two safeties. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a better tackler. He's a little bit more physical.
I think he's a little more versatile too, because he's played outside corner, he's played inside corner.
I think Adderley can do that. I really think he can. And so that's why I say, like, I think you give up that physicality for a guy that I think is better in coverage on the back end. But we differ on that a little bit. So that's an interesting one to talk about.
Oh, for sure.
I like both those players a lot. But I think Kent hit the nail on the head. That's what most people are going to keep him from being your safety one, level of competition and the tackling concerns. And then, I mean, honestly, injuries too. He's been dinged up. He's not the biggest guy.
There's no knock for being safety two. Like, right. That's the other thing. Like, Nasir's a good player. He's a really good player. At Mush in 9 asks, with all the defensive line beef in the draft, what late first day two D tackles would make the Chiefs take a long, hard look before addressing a pressing need? So one guy I think that would really, if he falls because of injury, because of off field, if Jeffrey Simmons is sitting there in the back end of round two, I would do it. Like, in a heartbeat. I might trade up for Jeffrey Simmons.
In round two. Yeah.
I would move up. And he's not a guy that's
talking. They're talking late first, early second, though.
Yeah.
Or so you're saying if he's sitting there around pick 40.
If he's there at 40, just trade up and get a top 10 player that's not going to be available to start training camp. He may miss part of his rookie year, but you're getting tremendous value. Some guys that, you know, like Tristan, we talked about him this week, and this is a guy that I've really enjoyed getting into his tape, and we talked about him a little bit on the laboratory. Round two, I would not have any issues taking Tristan Hill, the defensive lineman from Central Florida. He has some of the most fun tape in this entire class. He doesn't know totally what he's doing quite yet. Like, he's still putting it all together, I think. But his first step get off is exceptional. He gets into the chest of interior offensive linemen with consistency. He's disruptive. He plays with his hair on fire, and he kind of he's a little erratic at times. But he's flexible, athletic, explosive, powerful, plays hard. He's a guy that I really like. So, honestly, I don't think I really have a ton of issues with taking interior offensive line. It's just where you get them. You know, I don't think you trade up for interior defensive line necessarily, unless it's like a consensus top five guy for us, like a Ed Oliver.
Simmons.
If someone falls to 29, like if the board sits bad and, you know, Wilkins is there or Tillery's there at 29, like, sure, go ahead.
Tillery's the other guy that I was going to mention, that if he's sitting there around pick 35, 40, he starts to slide a little bit. He's a guy that could be disruptive, you know, from an interior pass rush perspective. That might be a guy that would interest the Chiefs to move up and get, because they need pass rush any way they can get it. The quickest way to the quarterback is interior. That one tech. Yeah.
Yeah. So, disruption. Disruption is production, and interior disruption matters. At Ryan 11 Alexander asks, what are your thoughts on Anthony Nelson, Jake? I will let you start on this guy.
Dude, I love Anthony Nelson. I really do. And his testing numbers, and Anthony Nelson, he's the guy, he played at Iowa, and he is just a guy that, as a pass rusher, it's a little bit of a slow burn. And he's kind of a smooth guy. He tested really well. That doesn't really show up on tape. You can tell he's a good athlete on tape, but he's not like your twitchy, explosive type guy. I think he's a guy that can play edge, can play DN. He can be an 8-sack a guy, you know, 8-sack a year, maybe pushing double digits in his prime. But what really gets me excited about Anthony Nelson is just how dominant he can be in stretches in the defensive run game. And one thing I love about him is I believe it was Mississippi State. It was a bowl game, and he had, I mean, three plays, back-to-back-to-back goal line stand type plays late in the game that his team needed. And that's heart. That's you look at a guy and say, like, does he have what it takes to be a dominant player? And when you put him on a goal line stand like that, you know, that's like the, you know, just the old drill of saying, you know, it's you versus the opponent. You can't let him cross the goal line. What do you got left in the tank to make a stop? And he did it three times in a row. And that is eye-opening to me. And I love that stuff because that tells me Anthony Nelson is a guy that loves this sport and he's going to go lay it out there for his teammates. And then on top of that, he tested really well. Yeah, so
tested exceptionally high.
So, you know, you say it doesn't show up on tape, but you got to really wonder, okay, so then how was Iowa using him? Maybe were they not asking him to get upfield, get after the quarterback as much? I don't know. But he's a guy that's really intriguing to me. Size, weight, speed, effort, all it's there. He's got everything in his toolbox. So he's a guy that I really like, especially when you start talking about that second tier of pass rushers in this draft class. Anthony Nelson is right up there with any of those guys.
At DJohnston29 asks, which players do you trade up for on day two? So, you know, I think it kind of just depends on what happens in the first round, right? So if they move up, if they use their third round pick to try to trade all the way up, you know, to like 21 or 20, you know, you've kind of got to make some decisions there on how you're going to maneuver the board, because you've got 2 second round picks, you've got a fifth, a sixth, and 2 sevenths at that point. So, or 2 sixths and a seventh. There's a lot of decisions you got to make, because if you're too aggressive after being aggressive with your first round pick, what are you've got a huge gap in selections. You don't have any flexibility. You're probably dipping into your 2020 arsenal. I think it just kind of depends. However, I'll answer this question. You know, if they need to move up, you look at guys like one of those cornerbacks. Like if Justin Lane falls into the late 30s, you go aggressively grab him. Jeffrey Simmons, like we just talked about, a player like him. I think it's definitely to address either edge or corner. Like, I think that's really, if you're trying to maneuver the board, it's going to be for an edge or a corner. One of those guys we talked about with Craig, trying to get into that tier a little higher, or, you know, maybe, you know, or a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, or, you know, something crazy happens at edge where, yeah, I don't even know. I don't know if I don't know if there's really going to be an edge that makes a sense. It's probably one of the corners if you're going into round two.
Corners are one of those safeties that we even just talked about today. Sure. I don't know if they want, but that's the thing. I don't know if they want to trade up for a safety. It depends what they do with 29 or what they do with that first pick. If they go out and get an edge, then they're not going to trade up probably for one unless they are absolutely in love with that guy. Then maybe they double dip and do that. But that's a tough question to answer, truthfully, because we don't have all the information yet. You know, it's really going to depend on what they do with that 29th pick.
And that's what's so fascinating about this whole thing and this whole process is how they're going to maneuver the board. And you know Brett Veach is going to be aggressive to acquire the players he likes, but how does he do it? I have a couple theories with how he could do it with his 2 second round picks, and that's actually going to be a full-fledged article in the guide, kind of talking about some of Brett Veach's tendencies and some of the strategies that he's done to trade and maneuver the board. Because even though it's only been 1 year, there's a lot of sample size of things that he's done. So that's going to be something that we're going to have in the guide.
And there's always two or three guys that are sitting there around pick 35, 40 on the beginning of day two that people are wondering, what? Yep. Why are they there? You know, Josh Jackson was a guy like that last year. Miles Jack has been a guy like that in the past. Reuben Foster was like a top 10 pick until he wasn't. You know, so like there's these guys that even we may be talking about them right now, and maybe not even talking about them because we're just like, you know, Ed Oliver has no chance at escaping the top 20. And then before you know it, wait a second. Yeah, I know. Kent's looking at me like,
Ed Oliver.
But he doesn't. But you never know. He's one of the more controversial guys in this draft class. Would you be shocked if he slips out of the first round?
Stunned, still. And I'll be mad if the Chiefs don't take him. I'll be mad.
But compared to some of these other, but no, when you talk about you know, guys that are like pegged top 15 guys right now, he's a guy that I think could fall. Sure. Probably not, but if you have a 5% chance, it happens every year.
Someone does fall every year. You're always surprised by somebody. Well, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. We will be back with the AP Laboratory on Tuesday and another draft show again next Friday.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.